It's Wednesday, December 6th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A terror plot to assassinate English Prime Minister Theresa May has been foiled, reports Sky News. It came to a head last week with the arrest of two men by armed police who were charged with preparing acts of terrorism. Members of the Girl Guides, a female scouting group in the UK, are being urged not to say grace before meals to avoid offending Muslims or atheists, reports Charisma News. New guidance aimed at boosting so-called inclusivity asks Girl Guiding groups to, quote, think of a statement that does not make reference to any particular god or faith, end quote. The guidance suggests that girls use this politically correct terminology, quote, let's all take a moment to show gratitude for this food and to remember how fortunate we are to have this meal, end quote. No clue as to whom they are grateful to. In 2013, the group stated that guides would no longer promise to serve God, but pledge to be, quote, true to myself and develop my beliefs, unquote. Psalm 14:1 notes that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Ravi Zacharias built his career defending the Christian faith. Now the famous apologist is defending his own reputation, reports Christianity Today. Zacharias addressed a personal lawsuit involving a married woman who sent him unsolicited nude photos. In Zacharias's telling, the wife kept crossing boundaries in their communication after the couple first met him at a 2014 conference, even after he asked her to stop and blocked her messages. Then the Canadian couple sought a cool $5 million to buy their silence. Zacharias said on Sunday, quote, let me state categorically that I never met this woman alone, publicly or privately. The question is not whether I solicited or sent any illicit photos or messages to another woman. I did not, and there is no evidence to the contrary, but rather whether I should have been a willing participant in any extended communication with a woman, not my wife. The answer, I can unequivocally say, is no, and I fully accept responsibility. End quote. The couple requested mediation instead of going to trial, and the parties reached a private settlement. Zacharias paid for his own legal expenses, and no ministry funds were used. A 21-year-old Salvation Army worker in Cleveland, Ohio, was shot dead in the head Saturday morning in full uniform with his Bible in hand while preaching the gospel. A member of the Salvation Army Temple Corps, Jared Plesick, died as he lived, sharing God's love. He was leaving home on his day off to volunteer at the Salvation Army's Red Kettle, reports WKYC.com. Police have arrested 27-year-old William Jones in connection with the murder. Major Daniel Alverio of the Salvation Army told Fox 8 News that Jared lived to, quote, teach people who God was, end quote. Focus on the Family's Plugged In is warning Christians about Disney's Pixar new box office success, Coco. Despite this film's eye-popping beauty and its heartwarming moments, Pixar's latest still packages a pagan worldview that's in sharp conflict with Christian beliefs. Day of the Dead, known as Dia de Muertos in Mexico, is a cultural and religious tradition that's celebrated on November 1st and 2nd, where families honor their deceased ancestors at cemeteries with gifts, pictures, and food. They believe that the dead are awakened during that time and are part of the community to share in the celebrations with their loved ones. Plus, Pixar taps into the Aztec belief system that teaches the worship of the dead. Sadly, Coco was the number one film Thanksgiving weekend, raking in $71.2 million at the box office. It became the fourth best all-time Thanksgiving opener. Isaiah 8:19 says, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? After more women have come forward with detailed sexual harassment claims against Democrat Congressman John Conyers of Michigan, he announced yesterday that he is retiring immediately and has endorsed his son, John Conyers III, to run for his seat, reports CBS News. Oddly enough, Conyers said this on a local Michigan radio station yesterday morning, quote, my legacy cannot be compromised or diminished in any way by what we're going through now, end quote. Perhaps he should have considered his precious legacy before ignoring his marital vows. Something remarkable is happening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tens of thousands of Christians are taking to the streets to stand up for unborn babies. Stay tuned for Emily Swanson's Worldview Special Report immediately following today's newscast. And finally, when a house went up in flames on Friday in Las Vegas, a homeless man risked his own life to rescue two children trapped inside, reports KSNV-TV. Anaval Angulo heard a 3-year-old girl and a 10-month-old boy yelling for help from behind the door of their home. Something had caught fire on the kitchen stove, and smoke was starting to pour out of the house. Even though the children's grandfather had been babysitting the two youngsters, he had gone into a back room and forgotten about the food in the kitchen. When it caught fire, the senior was unable to make it through the fire to rescue the kids. Angulo, however, was able to jump the fence, tear open the deadlock screen door, and pull the children to safety. The homeless man said, quote, "I wrapped up the babies and pulled them out. I knew I had to get them out," end quote. Meanwhile, the neighbors ran to the rescue of the grandfather and managed to pull him out from a window in the back of the home. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." As you know, the Worldview and Generations Ministries are committed to bringing a biblical worldview back to the news, to family life, and to the education of our children. We are grateful for your trust in the work we do. As the Lord has blessed you this year, please consider blessing this ministry with a much-needed year-end donation right now as we continue to declare Jesus as Lord over all. Go to theworldview.com/give. That's theworldview.com/give. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, December 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2017, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. At the culmination of 40 weeks of Walking for Life in Charlotte, North Carolina on Saturday, 1,500 people gathered. But there's a bigger story behind Love Life Charlotte. The Worldview spoke to Justin Reeder, the founder of Love Life Charlotte, about the rally and how God has used the initiative in their city. He explained why the rally on Saturday was so significant.
This one on Saturday was week 40 for us, meaning that this is the culmination of the last 40 weeks that we have been out at the abortion clinic doing prayer walks, calling all of our partnering churches that have participated with us all throughout the 40 weeks, calling them all together to come together for this week as we celebrate all that God has been doing in our city. We've had now over 23,000 people that have prayer walked with us at the abortion clinic. Over the last 2 years, we've had over 100 churches that have partnered with us all across denominational lines. The greatest number is that we're really celebrating is that over 800 families have chosen life.
Reeder said the prayer walks have set Christians on fire for loving and preserving life.
Before, when we started 2 years ago, prior to that, there was very little activation that was happening within the church as far as at the abortion clinics or really for life in general. There was a small remnant in the city who was faithfully there engaging people and offering them hope and life resources, but for the most part, the church was absent. So it's been an incredible thing to see God awakening the body of Christ and bringing people together week after week after week across denominational lines and to stand for life. It's really John 17 is being played out in our city, not for a one-time event. And they're not coming together for a headline speaker or for a headline band. They're coming to the dark place of our city to cry out in prayer.
Reeder said that before this, most churches in Charlotte were not aware of how abortion was the number one cause of death in their city.
Most of these churches, like myself, I was unaware of what was happening prior to us all getting engaged over the last couple of years. We were unaware that abortion was the leading cause of death in our city, and that we had the largest abortion clinic in the southeast right here in our backyard.
He said that it's important to equip the church to engage their people about what's happening.
But once we began educating the church and letting them know that this was what's happening and giving them a path, a very clear path, and a way to engage their people, not just to give a great pro-life message, which we need pastors talking about this from the pulpit, but giving their people a way to engage beyond that, speak about life, educate their people about life, but and then say, all right, let's move, let's activate.
Reader outlined the plan about how they get Christian churches engaged in the battle.
And we do that through what we call adoption, where the church speaks about it on a Sunday, and then they call their entire congregation that Wednesday during their adoption week to pray and to fast on Wednesday. And that's really the backbone of our campaign. And then on Saturday, they go out to the abortion clinic for our prayer walks.
Reader said that the most crucial part of this battle is the unification of the body of Christ behind this, not legislation or politics.
Our mission is to unite and mobilize the church, to create a culture of love and life that will bring an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. So we believe God's called the church to shape the culture. Politicians, legislation will follow the culture. We're creating a culture where families stop running to the local abortion clinic for the answer and begin running to the local church. We don't believe change will come through a politician or legislation, but it's going to come through the Church of Jesus Christ.
Reader said that they are so encouraged after this last week's rally.
We're incredibly encouraged by what we're seeing the Lord do. Just 2 years ago, for week one prayer walk, we started with 20 people gathering on a little piece of grass down there close to the abortion clinic. And now we've had over 23,000 people that have mobilized for our prayer walks just in 2 short years. The unity that is within the church, the buy-in that is happening with the church. And so this next year, we're going to take more ground. This next year, we're launching in the Triad and the Triangle. So we will be all throughout North Carolina. In these three areas, we will be covering where 85% of all the abortions take place in our state.
He shared an incredible story about how the prayer warriors at the abortion clinic have affected even the abortion workers.
We've had over 15 abortion workers that have quit this clinic, many giving their hearts to the Lord and even joining us at our prayer walks. We had two of them just this last Saturday with us at our prayer walks. And we have reports from inside of workers that are now beginning to point people to the church, encouraging the people that are coming for abortion, say, hey, you need to think about those people outside. They really will help you. They will walk with you. Because they have actually seen it with their own eyes. One of the workers in there came to one of the baby showers for one of the moms that chose life, and they've seen the church walk with these moms.
The Worldview asked Reader how he would encourage those who have been in the pro-life battle for a long time.
God sees your faithfulness. For those who are out at sidewalks offering hope, offering life resources for families at abortion clinics, or if you're working in a pregnancy care center, keep going, keep going. There was a remnant here in our city before we launched that was really paving the ground for this movement to happen. And so keep going where you are and encourage people to come out with you.
Reader said that someone encouraging him to come out was what launched him into the Love Life Charlotte campaign. He also said that if people need encouragement or ideas, they can contact Love Life Charlotte through their website at lovelifecharlotte.com. Reader shared why prayer is the most important part of the battle for life.
This is a spiritual battle, and we have to recognize that our battle is not with protesters, it's not with abortion clinic owners or workers. It's not who our battle is with. It's not with flesh and blood. We use spiritual weapons to fight this battle. Our battle is with Satan. It's with the adversary. When we pray, one of the biggest things it does, it changes our heart. It aligns our heart with the Father's heart. And there's something very powerful about prayer and fasting. We see Jesus began his public ministry of 40 days of prayer and fasting in the desert. And the scripture says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert, and he was led with power out of the desert. Something happened in that desert. And so as we pray, as we fast, it turns down the noise of this world and it turns up the volume of heaven. And if we can all really capture the heart of the Father on this thing, then we will all be set ablaze and our hearts will be on fire for it. Prayer and fasting has always been the backbone of our campaign, and it will continue to be, but there's a lot of power in prayer. We believe that we have to win it in the spirit realm first, and then it will manifest in the natural realm.
Ephesians 6:16 through 18 ends the passage on spiritual warfare with these words: "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." To watch a recap of Saturday's massive unification of Christ followers at this event, go to Love Life's Facebook page, linked in our transcript. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.